Go to Galatians chapter 5. We are into some good stuff right now. Hallelujah. The love of the Father. A lot of times, because we've been loved of God, we think we know what love is. I'm going to tell you this right now. Please hear me. God coming to you here and loving you, there's a difference in that place and you going to where He is and Him loving you there. There's a whole difference. I mean, it's like night and day. I'm finding where the transforming power of God's love lives, and I'm finding where that is. And we're all going in there because the whole body of Christ is going to be perfected there. Nobody's going to get perfected outside of the love of the Father. And you don't have a time to be perfected by your trials. God's going to bring His bride into the love of God, into her bride chamber. And God's going to love us the way we need to be loved. Hallelujah. Now, I want to see where the Holy Ghost can take us, because I have about three different directions to go today. I'll just start with this and we'll see where we go. Amen. Hallelujah forever. Galatians chapter 5 verse 6 is a very familiar scripture. It says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision." He's speaking the law there. He goes, none of that matters anymore. If you do it or you don't do it, that is not where it's at anymore. Say, that's not where it's at. And he says, however, it's faith which worketh by love. Faith that worketh by love. Now, for the most part of my life, and probably most of our lives, we've exercised faith in this jurisdiction. We've exercised love in this particular jurisdiction we live in. And a lot of times when we hear a verse like that, we think that, okay, I'm going to operate my faith, going to operate by my love. So you go try to be a real goody two shoes. You know how that goes. You try to get real good. Mary Poppins. I mean, just crisp, clean, no caffeine. You just try to be perfect, because if I can obtain to this love, then my faith's going to work. Because faith will work by love. And so you're trying to get all perfect here, and it's still availing you nothing. Because this is not where it happens. It happens. But it happens in the Father's love. It doesn't happen in your love. Now I want you to go to 1 Corinthians 13 to the love chapter. Hallelujah. I want to show you something about love. This is very key. To identify, there's two type of loves operating. Might make sure you're in the right one. Amen. You got to get out of your love, because I can assure you, your love will never attain it. Never. But His love will. Amen. The hardest thing is finding it. And it's not because God had made it so available. It's because of the lie of the enemy. And you've got to pierce through the lies of the enemy. And so you can come into the fullness of it. And once you start entering in the fullness of it, you'll find out how available it is, how fluidly it flows, how immeasurable it is. And almost every single day you can come into a baptism of it. And it's glorious. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels," that's praying in tongues, "and have not love, I'm become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not love, I am," what? "Nothing." Now, he's going to say something that's very, very key. And it's very huge in understanding the kind of love we're after here. A lot of times we're thinking we're going to generate this or what we're presently walking in. And I can tell you what He has is so much greater than what we can ever generate. And look at what it says here. It says, "Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing." He's speaking, when you give all your goods in a form of religion, you can give everything you've got to feed the poor. Can you imagine anybody in His building? Now listen to this for a minute. Because we can generate some compassion on our own. We can generate some love on our own. Anybody in here walk out that door and give all they have, sell all they have and give it to the poor. You'll be looking for a place to live, but you give all of that to the poor. I can tell you. And then I walk up to your Pastor Chuck walks up to you and said, you did all that in your love. That'd be pretty hard to take. That would be very hard to take, wouldn't it? Because it's possible to do a lot in yourself. And that's what's going to blind you to what's really from above. Not only can you do that in a form of religion, when it says, I can give my body to be burned. There are people who, for the cause and sake of their religion, will give their life in a heartbeat in this hour. They'll blow themselves up. How could someone go to the extent of giving their body to be burned for the cause of love, their love, and still not possess God's love? That's a lot. That's an extensive. Now, take that and put it in the context of faith that works by love. Because if you can give your body to be burned, if you can give all your goods to feed the poor and still not have the God kind of love, then you can operate in faith in your own love. Do you hear that? If you can do other in your own love, you know you can exercise faith in your own love. And you know why we do it? Because we really haven't had a true revelation. I'm going to say it like this, not what love is, because every one of us have been loved by the Father. You've been loved by the Father, raise your hand. That's what I'm talking about. But where love is. Because God will come down and love every one of us. He's extended his love through Jesus, and everyone has been touched by the love of God. Now, there is a difference in that, because in a visitation mode, unless you're in some kind of revival where it's just flowing, it's generally not going to sit on you day after day after day after day in a visitation mode. There's going to come a time the visitation mode will stop. You remember when you're a babe and God is loving you all the time and you don't think that's ever going to leave? You just live in the canopy. I mean, just put a pacifier in their mouth. I love you so much. They cuddle you up. I love you so much. And you live in that, all of a sudden one day it's time to grow up, get kicked out. You're like, what happened? You're looking for it. Are you been in a powerful meeting? You've been in the revival? I mean, it was just flowing, and all of a sudden you come out of that and you think you can be on me all the time. Now I done arrived. And within 3 days, that done lifted off of you. You know, we had a conference here one time. Man, it was off the charts. I mean, God lifted up us in heaven. We weren't living in the right hand in those days. So getting up there was quite a treat. And I remember it ended like Saturday. And that Sunday, we went back to our normal anointing. And I'm like, what happened? I mean, it was like you were just dropped 50 stories. I went through post-conference depression for 3 weeks. You know what I'm talking about? You remember that? And then it was like, where did God go? Why can't you stick that on us? You put it on us for a week, put it on us for a year. But he's telling us, you got to grow through that. There were a lot of things out of order in those days. I'm sure glad he didn't do that, because he wasn't ready to grow then. He was just ready to start pruning. That was the foretaste of the pruning. Amen. That's what's happened when you get into that. If it comes to that visitation mode, it's going to lift. It'll come back, but it's not going to stay on you every single day. I don't know anybody that lives in a visitation mode every single day of their life where God comes and visits them with love and it never stops. If you know somebody like that, introduce me. Well, doesn't he love me? Of course he loves you. Now, am I saying that God doesn't love you every day? Of course he loves you. But that's not the way he set it up. And I know why. Go to John chapter 17. The hardest thing, I'll tell you straight up, I had this conversation with Anna and Chuck, a couple of you. The hardest thing when you start tapping into the Father's love is explaining it. I'll tell you why, because most people already have that t-shirt on that says, I've got that. I've already been there, done that. What else you got? You know, t-shirt says, been there, done that. What else you got? And if somebody's wearing that t-shirt, they will not hear what I'm saying. So why I'm prefacing that, let me tell you what I'm saying and what I'm not saying. I'm not talking about the visitation that God has visited us. Everyone, if you've been touched with the love of God, raise your hand. I'm not talking about that visitation right there. If you know the love of God, raise your hand. I'm not talking about that either. Well, I am talking about it. How many got a revelation of God's love? Raise your hand. That's the hardest part to penetrate right there. I had a revelation of the Father's love 25 years ago, 20 years ago, 15 years ago, 10 years ago. I've cried in the love of the Father right up here, right in front of all of you. But I found something. I guess the way I could say it to you is you can have it every day, but you got to find where it is. Well, I know it's in the Father. Well, I know that too. But you have to develop that pathway to be where that love flows immeasurable. But I found a love that's perfecting, a love that's transforming. It will perfect you. The power of it to wash you. The power of it to identify the ways and strongholds and thought processes you don't even know you had because you've had them so long. That I actually have some thought processes that his love just recently identified in the last 3 days. And I'm like, I have thought that way all my life. And justified it as God. And didn't have a clue that it wasn't. And there ain't nobody could have told me any different. And it survived 15 years of ministry. It survived 25 years of knowing God. And it survived quite a few hundred passages through the Bible. It survived all that revelation. Still there. But it did not survive the power of the Father's love in the right hand of God. It did not survive it there. It is demolishing it. Because it's been there so long, sometimes it takes a little bit of time. God's love is the answer to make every one of us whole. Not your definition of love and not the present t-shirt you're wearing. That's not the answer. The Father's love that's in Christ, in the right hand of God, that will take us from glory to glory when we enter into it, has the power to perfect, to wash the spot and wrinkle out of our life, to wash the hardness out of our life, to wash down walls of insecurity and fear and paranoia and torment and things you don't even know you got and emptiness. Some of the things we do because we walk around empty. Some of the things we long after because we walk around empty. He'll never leave you empty if you're in it. You will not be empty. His love is full and it's complete and it's glorious and I want more of it. And every one of you need more of it. Men, women, children, all of us, sons, daughters, we need his love. We have no idea how much we need it till we get in it. Nobody can love us like the Father can. Wow. There's just no power like it anywhere. Nowhere. And what I found a great mystery. I learned because I'm learning how to receive right now. And he's teaching him how to receive by receiving his love. He said, I know everything you've asked for. I keep them all in a stack of constitutions right next to me. Every time I'd get in the presence of the Lord, I'd bring them to him. He goes, just keep those right there for a minute. He goes, I've heard you. He goes, I know everything you've asked. He goes, I got it. It's on your wall. It's right there. You've said it. You remind me often. I got it. I said, I just want to make sure you know that what I want. He goes, but I want to make sure you know what I want. And he goes, what I want and what you really want is to establish the depth and the breadth and the length and the height of my love in you. I want it working in you. I want you to learn how to come into its fullness. I want to show you where it lives. I want to show the immeasurability of it. I don't want you coming into it one day and then empty the next day. I want to show you how to get there, how to live in it, and I want you to experience its transforming power, and I want to make you whole. Preacher being made whole. Imagine that. You put a name all day long. But I tell you, the things that we're looking for and the things the body of Christ will soon walk in, the kind of power and glory that God's going to release in this last hour. We will have to have his love as the foundation. Well, I walk in love. I'm a lovable person. Well, we all have a measure of that. But I'm not talking about what's in you presently. What the Bible says? We love him because he first loved us. And some of you, all of us, can attain to a pretty big measure of love if you really work at it. But his is great, and it's full, and it's awesome. And no matter what we ever obtain, his is always going to be greater. And we need it every day. We need it coursing through our body. We need its cleansing power to wash our minds, to wash our soul, to wash away years and years and years and years and years of garbage that gets stored up in there. How many of you can ever thought about something, you could remember something back when you're 4, 5, 6 years old, some kind of event or some kind of movie or something, your mind has the capacity to store endless information. Not only does it storing endless information, you have the capacity to store endless encounters and experiences, good or bad. Bad encounters cause us to stuff things down. Stuff it, stuff it, stuff it, stuff it, stuff it. And we learn to live on that. You get born again, your spirit gets recreated, but that soul's got a lot of stuffing. I mean, it's Thanksgiving turkey stuffed. I'm telling you, it's got some stuff in it. And we get that unveiled throughout our process, providing that we'll be teachable enough to get unveiled. The problem is once God starts using us, we got something now. We somebody now. We somebody now. I got it. By the time God starts using us, give us a little bit of revelation, a little power, I'm perfect. Can't hear anymore. Then God has to bring us and show us we're not so perfect. And if we have a need for perfection, that's a hard thing to permit that you've got. It's a hard thing to admit when you got a need for perfection that you're imperfect. You spend your life creating perfect circumstances around you. God's love, wash it all away. He won't even care no more. That's how glorious it is. Leaves you full and holy. It'll fill the room. It'll fill you with an immeasurable fullness. It'll get on the outside of your life. It'll leave you wanting for more and more and more. And not only will it do that, it'll give you more and more and more. Because each time you get processed, each time you have that baptism, it's easier and easier and easier and easier to receive. Easier and easier and easier and easier, and you'll find out you'll have great confidence in the Father and just how much he loves you. You'll take off your t-shirt and start wearing his. I'm telling you, you will. I don't want mine no more. I want yours. I want to wear your love, Father, not mine. That's why it says put on love. Put on love. Say, where did I do this? Tomorrow I'm going to get my 10-pound Bible. I'm going to march in there and get me some of that love. Well, he's been leading us the whole time. I'll tell you what else to do. It'll open you up to receive the kingdom, because what faith worketh by love. Without it, your faith won't work so well. It's not working by your love. It's not working by your t-shirt you got on. It's when he puts his on, because it opens you up to receive. And when he's loving you, he'll transfer the kingdom upon you. Right there, he'll flow right through his love. And your faith will work. I called Joanne and I said, you know what? It's effortless, Joanne. Because that's her word. It's effortless. It is right there. When you're in the Father's love and it's flowing, everything will become effortless. You will get discharges and downloads and release of the kingdom. It will get on you. And you'll wear the kingdom and it'll start manifesting and demonstrating like that. That's the easy part. The hard part is finding it daily, which is not so hard once you find it, because there's a big shroud of lies that says you cannot attain it. Got to go do it yourself. And another shroud is, I don't even know where to look. How many of you ever went into God with huge expectancy, thinking he's just going to come, and you just get stopped out, and a big brick wall goes over you, and you think, something's wrong with me. God, what's wrong with me? Man, I tried that, Pastor, and nothing happened for me. It's all part of the journey to where it is. God's condition is you go to it where it is. John 17, I'm going to try to give you a revelation of this beholding his glory again. Sometimes you got to pass over this. If you'll take that t-shirt off too, that would be a good one. The one he talks about, my glory I give to you. I already know what that is. Take that one off for the next 5 minutes. John 17, verse 20. Neither pray I these for these alone, but for them that will believe on me through their word. Now, Jesus is praying, and he says, I'm not just praying for these 11 that are in this room. I'm praying for all that's going to believe on me through their word. Everyone say, that's me. Because that word in your Bible, somebody preached that word which they left for you. You believed it. This is your prayer. He prayed this for you. Every day you enter in, you can say, this is mine right here. But you've got to be where it is. And if you're not, we're going to keep doing things the same way. We're going to have the same next year at this time. Going into the holiday season, we're going to be in the same place we've been last year unless we move into this transformation. I'm telling you right now, none of us are going to be the same. None of us! We are heading for glory fast! Supercharged, kicked in, fifth gear. Dwelling. Verse 21. That they all may be one. As thou, Father, are in me, and I'm in thee, that they may be one in us. Now, notice what that one was not. That all of us in here would all get together, have communion, and be one. That's not what he's talking about right there. Now, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity, that's oneness with the brethren, but that's not what he's talking about. This is not between you and me here. It's between you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's the oneness he's talking about. He's going to bring you into a perfect state of oneness. It cannot be attained in the flesh. It cannot even be tamed in this physical realm. Don't even try it. That's like trying to operate in your own love. You're not going to get anywhere. We've all seen each other's stuff. Have we not? No, don't answer that question. It doesn't matter how much stuff you got. I can tell you right now, God's love is much greater than your stuff. It is much greater. You just had to find out where it is. And once you get into it, you're going to start getting perfected. And everybody's going to go, where'd all your stuff go? So I don't know. I can't find it myself. It's not going to be that time where you can put a coat over it and put a face over it and be real nice. But next week, you're right back to the bear you were 2 weeks before that. There's somebody, they get nice, they get going in the spirit or something, they get flowing, and they got the face on, and they got it on, and they're real nice, they're hugging, loving, hallelujah, then all of a sudden, something else comes out. Who is that? Where did he come from? I like my associate pastor back. Where did it go? And the next week, he's loving, and people going, man, how many Chucks are in there? We got Chuck 1, 2, and 3. I'm not going to talk about myself. I'm not about him. I want that nice man back. Then what are his ministers? Well, you don't know what we've been through. You think you're going through something. You don't know what I've been through. And we do go through a lot. But I found out you can go to a place in God and all that just gets lifted right off of you. Don't it? Just gets lifted right off. You've got to learn to unload. You can't be carrying that water bottle up here the rest of your life. You can't do that. Nobody can do that. We have to learn to unload. But more than just unload, we learned how to unload in that last series called Grace. We didn't name it that. We called it The Great Exchange. We learned how to unload there. So each time he's teaching us something, I'm thinking, man, this is it. This is it. He's just getting us unloaded so he can load us up. Now we got to get loaded up. We unload and get loaded up in the love of God, in his fullness. You squeeze and a lemon comes out. But that's because what's inside, if you get squeezed and peace and love and joy comes out, and none of us perfect. We're just getting started in this. So don't expect all of us just to be, you know, sweet every time you squeeze us, but we're getting a lot better, praise the Lord. You squeeze us and you might have some sweet lemonade in the beginning, but keep going. Keep going. He'll get it all out. Amen. He said, they may be one. He goes, Father, it's why he died for you. Verse 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I've given them that they may be one as we are. Did you get it? Now, I said this last week, what the glory is. How many want God's glory? Raise your hand. How many of you know what God's glory is? What's that mean? I don't put nobody on the spot, but what does his glory mean? What do I want? His glory. Give us your glory. We've got songs. We sing them every day. What is it? Well, that cloud gets on you. Well, that's part of it, for sure. His glory is what he had with the Father. He thought, look at verse 5. He gives you a little bit of idea of what was going on before he left heaven. Now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. This place, I was with you, and I was in you, and I was surrounded by you, and I was loved by you. And I was living in this light, and this life, and this love. See, even the Son was a recipient of God's love. He sat before the Father for eternity. He was in the Father for eternity, and they didn't want to hold that level of relationship to themselves. They wanted to share it with their creation. So they created a man after their image. And when Adam and Eve were originally created, they could receive God's love, spirit to spirit. They were spiritual beings that could receive from a spiritual father. They walked in a spiritual garden, and it was full of life, and everything was in perfect harmony, and they could live in the light and life and love and liberty and glory of the Father and the Son. And it was all there in the garden. There's nothing diminished until separation came. And when it separated them, they could not receive that anymore. And so Jesus said, not only am I going to come back and get them, I'm going to give them what I have this time. Not only am I going to stick them in a garden, I am going to give them the very place that I hold with you, Father. I sit at your right hand. I've always been at your right hand. But I'm going to go prepare them a place in your right hand. And they're going to be with me. And all the love you've loved me with, Father, will then be in them. All the glory that I experience with you, Father, will be in them. They will have the same access that I have. You want a little bit of idea how to find it? Get in the Son. Because when you're in Him, you're already in the Father. When you get in Him, all it is just another whew. And that fullness will start wrapping around you. And that immeasurableness will start washing through you. And that power to transform. He says in verse 22, I think, Father, I will. They be with me now. I'm returning to you where I held with you. And I pray they be with me, Father. God, you've got to get that. It's the greatest thing that God's ever given us. There's nothing greater. Not even being operating in His glory here. There's nothing greater than being where He is. Be with me where I am, Father. That they now may behold my glory that you've given me. Now we think, okay, I'm going to get in there. I'm going to see something. I don't see. The better way to look at that, now some people see, but you know a seer can see right here? You know they can see the throne and not actually be in the presence of it? Seer can see. Look at yourself on a mountain, you can see miles and miles and miles. Doesn't mean you're there, you can just see it. I like to see too, but wouldn't you like to be there? If I could see a mountain 100 miles away, but I'd rather be on it. It's a difference between seeing that mountain and being in that mountain. Beholding His glory, what He says, be with me where I am. You're not just seeing it from a distance. You're there. And if you're there, the best way to describe that, Father, I will that they may experience my glory. This place I hold with you. That cannot be spoken in natural words. It just can't. Every one of us just have to go there. Amen. Now, here's the thing about the love of the Father. He loves you. You get love. If you don't know how to get back to where that is, 3 or 4 days later, you move back. And that's the way we live. We kind of go in. I had a word for somebody the other night when we were in that prophetic mode. I said, you're on a trampoline. She stood in front of me and she was jumping on a trampoline. That is something. I stood there and she was looking at me like, you going to say something? And I'm like, I'm trying to find out why I'm seeing her jump on a trampoline. Because she's just going up and down. And the Lord said, that's her walk. And many like her. And she goes up, and she goes back down. And she goes up, and she goes back down. They go up, and go back down. It's not how many times you go up and down, it's how long you can stay up. You got to obtain, we have to keep what we get. We learn to move into this place, because I with me be where I am at your right hand, Father, and I'm bringing them to your right hand. They buried with me in baptism. They're raised with me in glory. And I'm bringing them into that place. And they're going to encounter you, Father. The way I encounter you. They're going to be loved of you the way I'm loved, Father. They're going to experience my glory the way I experience it. Faith will work by that love. When it gets released in us. Guess what's going to happen? The kingdom's going to get released through it. And it's what we're looking for. And it all happens in the right hand. John 17, verse 13, and I'll close with this. says, now I come to thee. And these things I speak in the world. The way you say, I come to thee, Father. And these things I speak in the world. Look at this. That they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. You know what that means? Well, yeah, I get his joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. That's not what he's talking about. But it is joy. You know what he's talking about? He said, Father, my joy, my glory, my love is to be with you, to be where you are, to partake of you. Even the Son partook of the Father. He said, my joy to be with you. Just listen to this. He goes, I want to be with you. They're going to have that fulfilled in themselves, because not only did I come to save them, I'm coming to bring them to where I am so they can experience what I experience. Just how much of God can we obtain to in that place? How much can he put on us there? How much can we encounter there? How much can we experience there? How much glory can we bring back here? His joy of being in the Father, being fulfilled in us. Father, we just lift this service to you. We lift your sons, your daughters. Bring us, all of us, into fullness, into glory. He that dwelleth in love will dwell in God. Bring us all into that indwelling. Bring us all in to that fullness. Lift us all up into that room. Lift us all up into that place of daily baptism, daily encounter, daily fullness. Spirit of the Lord says, I'm going to remove the edge. I'm going to remove the corners, the sharpness. I'm going to transform my ministers before the eyes of my people. And those that will not be transformed, says the Spirit of grace, they will lose their place. And those that will be transformed, they will be the smooth rocks that have been in the streams of the living water. And all the edge and the jagged edges will be made smooth. My body will move in harmony. My people will move in harmony. My called out ones, my separated ones, my remnant will move in this hour and in this generation in perfect accord with heaven, in perfect unity with heaven. Where my spirit will be upon you, and I will perfect overnight what the enemy has built for 30, 40, 50 years. Strongholds will be eradicated and removed as I bring my people up into where I am. My bride will rise up into and stand with the Son in the right hand of God, standing by his side, being loved of the Father. And that she will be, says the Spirit of the Lord, in this generation without spot and wrinkle, I will thoroughly purge the threshing floor. It is my love, says the Spirit of grace. You will see it. You will partake of it. You will encounter it. You will live in it, says the Spirit of the Lord. It will overtake you. It will overcome you. It'll give you a new identity. It'll transform the old, ensure that you will move, says the Spirit of the Lord, from glory to glory in me. From glory to glory in me. From glory to glory is the revelation and the encounter of my glory and the love of the Father will transform my church. And these things, says the Spirit of the Lord, are not very many days hence, for I'm calling everyone up now, says the Spirit of the Lord. All things, says the Spirit of the Lord, even as an election in your country, says the Spirit of the Lord, all things will shift. My kingdom will shift in these months, says the Spirit of the Lord, for this coming year will be a brand new year, says the Spirit of the Lord. My people will rise higher than they've ever risen, says those that will give ear, they will rise, for I will align them with my ministers. I will align them into the glory. I will align them into power. I will align them into love. It will be love first, says the Spirit of the Lord, then power. It will be love first, says the Spirit of the Lord, then power, says the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah, Father. Let's give Him praise. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Get us there, Father. Get every one of us in the sun, sitting in your right hand, encountering that the love of the Father be shed abroad in us. Let it be shed abroad. Let it reach every empty hole in us. Let it reach every empty space in us. Let it remove the edge. Let it remove the rough places. Make us smooth stones that the Goliaths will come down with the smooth stones. Bring us in, Father. Bring us in. Let us rise by faith on the wings of eagles to rise into you, Father, to rise all the way to the top of the mountain, to rise into love, to rise into great love. Great love. I hear the Spirit of the Lord says, be not condemned. It's not your love. I love you the day that you were born. I loved you from the foundation of the world. I loved you the day you were born again. And it's my love that's compelling you to me. It is I that will perfect you and not you, says the Spirit of the Lord. For you have not the equipment to be perfected on your own. Your perfection is not what I'm looking for. It's my perfection. I will transform your perfection with that that is truly perfect. For when that which is perfect shall come, that which is in part will be done away. For all my people are in part right now, but that which is fullness is coming faster than they'll know. For I'm bringing you up to partake of the fullness, of the fullness, of the fullness.